Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted right there on WGNplus.com. So we thank you for your loyalty and your interest in the good old podcast. As we embark on episode 93. And I should tell you that I am now officially viral. And I don't even need any vaccine, which is new for me. Yeah, I want to talk to you about this. A photo of me has gone viral. I'm all over the internet. So, my life has really changed. It really is quite a big deal when you become a viral star. And now I can say that from personal experience. It was unsuspecting. I had no idea. And now I just click on and I'm viral. Who would have thought? So yes. Don't forget. We have a landing page on good old WGNplus.com, and so you can always binge on these infamous podcasts by going to the landing page at WGNplus.com. Go to the entertainment section, hit Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and you will see 92 former episodes as we're counting down now. It's ponderous, man, ponderous. 93 episodes as we count down to number 100 on Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars. So, first of all, let me just clean up some interesting little business that is actually about 2 months old, which I just was made aware of in the last 10 or 15 minutes. Jasmine, who is the producer of the podcast here, said, you know what? I've got something in my desk that is yours. Someone sent you a letter to the station here, and I saw your name on it, and so I put it in my desk. So I went back. I had to go back and find it, and I joked with her, and I said, oh, look, it's from Christmas. You know, I was pretending, although the stamp did say Happy Holidays on it, so I wasn't all that off, but it was kind of a joke just to say, oh, that was nice of you, and thanks for giving me this card, you know, 2 months late, and lo and behold, when I opened it up, it was a Christmas card that a listener sent me, a Marianne sent me. And so I thank you, Marianne. But what I like about this, she wrote a nice little poem and a letter. And I won't go into specifics, but it was very nice, very complimentary, and it was very appreciated. But she also, what I like about it is that she gave me or dubbed me a new nickname. So, in addition to being Elton Jim, according to Marianne, who sent me this card, and thanks to Jasmine for not throwing it out and digging it out of her desk, I am officially not only Elton Jim Toronto, but according to Marianne from Chicago, I am Sir Laugh-A-Lot. Because I give people the gift of laughter, which according to Marianne is the greatest Christmas gift that anyone could get. And I love this last line. When you're on, my friend, we all love you, and you will never be forgot. You will go down as in history as the beloved Sir Laugh-A-Lot. Well, it's not exactly Robert Frost or Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, but I'll take it. So thank you, Marianne. I appreciate that. And thank you to Jasmine Minnie Cooper, Ethel, for saving this card, because I never would have gotten it.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, and you're just like the post office. You deliver just as quick as the post office does.
Well, I try to.
Yeah, because this was a Christmas card, and soon it's March, so that's not bad.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, you are certainly not FedEx. That is not your next nickname. You are certainly not next day service. Wow. You're not even priority mail. I don't even know what you are. You're not even snail mail. You're slug mail. Slower than a
give me the card back.
Slower than a snail. I didn't think there was anything slower than snail mail, and now I figured out there is one thing. Wow. Holy smokes. But now, hey, better late than never, I guess. So I will have to write Marianne a note of thanks and also of apology. For returning her message 7 months late. I should have waited and just opened it up at this coming Christmas. Then it would have been more timely. But it's very nice. So thank you, Marianne. So what I teased at the beginning of the podcast here is, yes, I am viral. And I'm not sick. I don't need any vaccinations or antibiotics. So that's good. No penicillin shots for this virus. So a little background on my not virility. I of course, I am viral. No, I'm viral and viral. I'm all Vs. So on February 16th, as I am wont to do, I went to Las Vegas to see Elton John in concert number 173. On our way to 200, counting them down. It's ponderous, man. Ponderous. I'm Casey Kasem. So I went to Vegas on Friday, February 16th. And people say, Jim, why do you keep going to all these concerts? I mean, you've seen them all. You've seen them do these songs a million times. And I say that's true. And as I've said on this podcast and on the radio as well, I also go for the goosebumps. I just get goosebumps every time I see him perform. I don't know why. It dates back to when I first saw him when I was 12 years old. But another reason why I like to go is because you never know what's going to happen at a concert. That's what's great about a live performance of any kind. And, you know, sometimes you go to concerts and they are what they are advertised. And then sometimes something special happens. And I was lucky enough to go to this concert on February 16th in Las Vegas. And Elton John, toward the end of the show, the last two songs, he brought out his two sons, which he rarely does. And they're like 7 and 5 years old. And they've been, you know, now they're getting a little older. And I know at the beginning of, when they were younger, they didn't bring them to the concerts. They're too loud, and they just didn't even know what the heck's going on. But now, apparently, they are getting a little older, and so they are understanding to as much as you can, I guess, if you're 7 and 5, that their dad is not your average dad when he goes to work, and their lifestyle is not the average lifestyle of a 7 and 5 year old. Not everybody's father is Elton John, and not everybody's dad, goes to work in front of 20,000 people or jumps on private planes or is in Aspen one day and New York the next day and France the next day. So I think they're getting a sense that that they have a famous father, and I think that they are beginning to realize that they won the natal lottery, if you will. The prenatal lottery. They won it. They won the genetic lottery for sure. And so they're definitely born into a a life of luxury, no doubt about that. And that's like a lottery. And when you think about it, in the case of Elton John and his husband David Furnish, I mean, these are two children that you know, had to be conceived using a surrogate and technologies. I mean, this is something that couldn't even have been done 40 years ago. And so that really is a miracle when you think about it. When they grow up, they have to really feel like, wow, the fact that they are alive is something you know, very unique to the last 30 or 40 years. I think the first test tube baby was around in the late 70s or early 80s. So it's a relatively new technology. But anyway, so it was kind of a kick. And what's cool about the Las Vegas shows, which will be ending soon for Elton, after almost 15 years in Vegas and two different residencies where he goes every 3 or 4 months and does a couple of weeks of shows at Caesar's Palace. What's great about this current show, and one reason why I like to go to this show and sit close in the front, is because during the second to the last song, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, they let the first five rows go up on the stage, and you stand around the piano as he's playing. So it's an amazing experience. And I mean, and if you get up there fast and you know when to go, like I do, I mean, I've been on an average basis a foot away, if not closer. And he's playing and performing, and it's like he's in your living room. So it's really a once in a lifetime kind of thing. I will miss that, you know, when this Vegas residency ends in May. So it was a very big surprise where all of a sudden, you know, the ushers let the first five go up and we get our places, and I'm right next to him as he's playing. I'm right there, right next to him. On the side of the piano, and I get right up there. So I was really happy to get that spot. And then lo and behold, Elton's husband, David Furnish, comes out with their youngest son, Elijah, who is five. And he comes out, and Elton greets him, and they walks over, and he plops him down on the piano bench and says, "This is my son." And he starts to perform. And so the little kid is just sitting there, and he's kind of dazed and amazed. I mean, think about it. You're 5 years old. This guy that you know is your father, that you see every day, is suddenly on stage in front of 4,000 people singing and playing the piano, and you're sitting on the bench next to him. And he didn't know how to react. I think this was the first time he was ever on stage with his father, Elton John. I know his older brother, Zachary, had been out one time before in Vegas, and so now it must have been Elijah's turn. And so he was sitting on the bench, and so, I mean, it was just so cool to watch father and son, and Elton kept turning as he was singing and looking down at him, and he would look up at Elton, and I was a foot away from both of them, so I could really see the eye contact that they were having. It was really a special moment just to see a father and a son, and see this little kid go, "Wow, Dad, you really are cool." And so I was taking pictures and, you know, doing the whole thing up there. And then when that song's done, then they take everybody off the stage, you go back to your seats. And then he comes out for the last song of the show, which he does is Circle of Life from The Lion King. And then he brought out his older son, Zachary, who is seven, as well as Elijah again. And he introduced them. And, you know, at the end, the funny thing is at the end of Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, they shoot off this confetti. And so while the little guy was 5-year-old, Elijah was on stage with Elton. When the song is over, Elton takes off right away to go backstage and change. And so they wanted to grab Elijah, but he was picking up all the confetti off the stage like a little five-year-old would. At the end of the day, that's, you know, I know he was obviously, you know, mesmerized by his dad playing, and then probably a little intimidated by looking out at this audience of people screaming and yelling at his dad, like, wow, what's going on here? But at the end of the day, he was a five-year-old kid, and it was so cute to see this little kid, you know, on the stage, just walking around and grabbing the confetti as it was floating, as well as grabbing it off the stage like a five-year-old would. And that's what I love when everybody buys, like, little kids all these elaborate toys. You know what? Kids can be just as happy with some elaborate, you know, expensive toy or a piece of confetti or a balloon. I'll never forget, I have a cousin, and it was like his second birthday, you know, and he was the first baby in the family for a real long time, so he was, you know, everybody was all excited about a new baby in the family, and everybody's buying him these gifts for his first or second birthday, whatever it was, and, you know, he got one of those little electric cars, you know, that you sit in and you can, quote-unquote, drive, and he had all these presents, and everybody opened the presents, blah, 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 and later in the evening at the party, there he was in the corner by all his toys, and he's surrounded by all these toys and this little car. I mean, you're like, oh, my goodness. And I was in the room with him, and he was all by himself, and I was in the other side of the room just watching. And for 15, 20 minutes, he was playing with a balloon, with a simple 10-cent balloon. He was surrounded by all these presents and all these exotic gifts. And meanwhile, the thing that grabbed his attention most was a 10-cent balloon. And that's what I loved here. This Elijah, you know, Elton John's son, is just sitting on the bench with his dad, people screaming, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, he's interested in picking up the confetti. That's what was his thing, because he's a five-year-old kid. It doesn't take much to impress a five-year-old kid. But anyway, so now he brings out both sons, and he's kind of hugging them both, and so now he's going to play Circle of Life, and so his older son is kind of standing behind Elton by the piano, and once again Elijah sits on the bench. That's his spot. So now I was sitting back at my seat, and we were all up toward the front of the stage now, right, you know, kind of right up against the front of the stage. And so I started taking pictures of him, and it was just a really great visual of Elton playing and singing and his two sons kind of flanked around him. And then he's playing Circle of Life, which is so appropriate in that there is the definition of Circle of Life right in front of you. There's Elton John with his two sons. So it was a very poignant moment, very cool moment, especially of someone like me who's been a fan. I mean, it's just really like, wow, this is a special time for him, and I get to share this. So how fun is that? And I was, you know, clicking pictures, and then at one point the little guy saw me because I was kind of, you know, singing and doing my air piano, and I was sort of playing the same notes, and then he looked at my hand and he turned around and looked at Elton's hand on the piano like, oh, that's right, he's playing the piano. I still don't know how much they understand about what he's doing. But it was so funny to see the two boys reacting to this. And I got a great photo that I have put on my Facebook page. If you want to go on, it's at Jim Toronto on the Facebook page. Look around the middle of February. A great photo of the young kid, Elijah, sitting on the bench. And he's turning around. So Elton is singing in this picture. And Elijah's sitting next to him on the bench. But he's turning around to look at his older brother, who's standing behind both of them. And the young kid is turning around and looking at his older brother with this big smile on his face, and they're looking at each other, and it's just like, it was really a great little moment between brothers, and you could see that they obviously have a very great bond, and then there's their father singing. It was really a great, I'm so glad I was able to capture that moment. But let me tell you why I'm viral, though. So that was very cool. And it's like, you know, that's why do I go to all these concerts? Because you never know what can happen. And at Concert 173, I will always remember that moment of when he brought his sons on stage, and I was right next to that whole kind of moment, because it was a special moment for him, as it was for someone being a fan like myself. So the next day, I come home, and I told a friend of mine who's a big fan, oh, I said, you know, Elton brought his sons out. And he says, well, look at this picture. And so apparently, I don't think Elton does anything with his computer, but he's got, you know, Instagram page and a Facebook page, I'm sure. I think his husband, David Furnish, is the one that posts all these pictures. I don't think Elton, you know, knows how to post anything. But on the Instagram picture, on his Instagram page, there's this photo, because David Furnish, his father, and Elton's husband, was behind them. He brought his son out to be with Elton, and he was on stage, sort of in the back on the stage, but behind them. So their, you know, their backs, he would be facing their backs in the front of the piano keys. And so apparently he took this picture, which showed Elton playing and the son sitting right next to him on the bench. Well, as I said, I was right off to the left side, right next to Elton on the piano during this part where they let you up on stage. And so there I am in the photo on the left side looking at them. And, you know, I got my camera. I'm taking pictures. I had my camera sort of down by my chest, though. But so there I am in the official picture that was on Elton's Instagram page and then later on his Facebook page. And so I got a lot of emails from people saying, hey, I don't know if you know, but your photo, you know, clearly, you know, you were, you know, I said, well, look, that's proof now. I do go to these concerts. So there's the proof. There's my picture right there. I'm not lying when I tell you I've been on the stage right next to him and blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of neat. Well, then, and I still got a lot of emails from people, oh, we saw this picture on Elton's Instagram page, and there you are, how cool, blah, 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 blah. So it was neat. But then I get an email from somebody else, and that photo on his Instagram page started to get picked up by news services talking about, oh, Elton John brought his kids on, you know, his son on stage, and here's a photo. And so, because that was, there was no official photographers in the audience, and this was taken, I assume, because that's where, you know, as I said, David Furnish was standing. I assume he took the photo and he posted it. So I went online, and there's like a celebrity, there's a British celebrity magazine called Hello Magazine, and they printed the story and my picture. Of course, it's Elton, but there I am. And then, so then I just went on Google and put, you know, Elton John brings son up on stage, February 16th. And there's several listings. And there's the photo, same photo. They just grabbed it from his Instagram page. So, yes, after all these years of logging in, all these this time, going to Elton John concerts, I am suddenly viral. So I am now a viral star. I don't know what that means. As I said, my life has certainly changed. It's amazing how one day you are not viral, the next day you are viral, and wow, what a difference. I assure you, nothing's changed. But it was kind of, it was a neat moment, and I was so happy to have been there for that. And then to get that as a little added bonus was very cool. But it just goes to show you that, you know, the bigger kind of point of this is that it is amazing today, the access and the way that just images and anything is disseminated. And you really, I mean, once again, I had no idea that that photo was taken. And then suddenly, you know, 12 hours, and I was all happy because I got all these great photos of Elton with his kid. And I posted them on my Facebook page, and all of a sudden, I'm on Elton's Facebook page. So I don't tell you, it's the social media thing. It's I know for people of a certain age group, it's like, well, what's the big deal? You know, this is commonplace. But But if you've been around for a while, it's really an interesting, evolution. I mean, believe me, and talk to anybody, you know, over 40. There was a time, folks, when we didn't all have cameras everywhere we went. You didn't have, you brought a camera to a certain event. Now, I mean, people have cameras like their guns in a holster. I mean, they just whip them out. And everything, as we know, is documented. But that is not how it was. And so it is so funny how everyday things are not only captured now on film, minute by minute, but then with the internet, they're just broadcast everywhere. That was so unheard of. You know, it was just, as I said, you know, you didn't, you're like, you would constantly say, oh, I wish I would have had my camera. That was a, you put effort in to bring your camera somewhere because you didn't have one with you like you do now. And then you didn't have this delivery service to say, hey, look at this. So I don't know how long my viral star status is going to last, but it is up there if you want to go. And I even have it on my Facebook page too, but it might be even more fun to go on and find the photo just in a general kind of news Google search. Because now that's legit. I mean, anybody could put a picture on their Facebook page. But Hello Magazine. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to be wondering if, I think it's a weekly magazine. It's in England. I think they have a United States version as well. I'm going to have to hunt it down because who knows? They may actually print it in the print version too. So I could actually might be, who knows? It's kind of a neat picture of Elton and his son from the back sitting on the bench. So if they've printed it on the website, they may decide to stick it in on the print version of the magazine as well. So I'll have to hunt that one down too. So then I will not only be viral. I don't even know what you call, you know, there's so few magazines now. I don't know what that's even called anyway. But so anyway, that's the deal. I am now viral. Thanks to going to that concert, number 173. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to hit. My hope was to hit 200. But, you know, now that Elton's going to be finishing performing in a couple of years, that's a lot of concerts in 2 or 3 years. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to hit that one. So I just went, my wife and I just went on a little quick trip. One of my favorite places in the world is the wine country in Napa Valley. But I do travel quite a bit. We like to travel. And as I said, I go to these concerts and all this other stuff. But even if you don't, and Jasmine's here, so I'm going to throw this to her. So, Jasmine, what kind of shower head do you have at home?
Wait, what do you mean?
What kind of shower head is in your shower at home? Is it just,
a regular one?
But my point is, it's in the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, there's those handheld ones that have that long cord, which a lot of people have, and now the trendy thing are those raindrop. Did you ever see those?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they have those on those like really fancy, smanchy hotels.
Yeah. So they have the raindrop thing that shower is above you and it just douses you like if you were in a downpour of rain. And then you've got the handheld one, which can both be something that you can use as a handheld or you can stick it up on the bracket and use it like one that is in the wall. Or there's the good old-fashioned, normal shower head that's in the wall that you can move around. So you were now saying it doesn't even need to be a fancy schmancy hotels anymore. They're all, even older hotels are beginning to renovate and change the showers. Because now everybody has to have a nice bathroom. Bathrooms are the big deal. So they are swapping out a lot of those old shower heads, and they're either putting in those portable ones that have the long cord that you can, just use as almost like a brush. And then they have these above your head rain ones. And then, okay, Jasmine, when your shower is on, well, you're going to turn your shower on. Do you first turn your water on with the spigots, right?
Right.
Then you test the water.
Yes.
And then you pull up that little thing on the on the on this on the nozzle.
Correct.
And then your water comes out.
Correct.
So you have an old, you have the, like the normal shower.
Standard.
Standard, which mm-hmm. is what I have as well. Now, what's nice about that is you can put your hot and cold and you test it with your hand to make sure what it is. And then when you realize this is the temperature I want, then you push the nozzle up and the water hits you.
Right.
And you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You're not shocked. Ah, it's too cold. Ah, it's too hot, because you're able to, you know, test. Well, I don't know if you've gone to hotels lately, but as I said, many hotels, old and new, you know, they're all trying to be fancy schmancy, and they're all installing these different shower heads and these different, you know, water, you know, nozzles, and even the way that you turn the water on. Now, it would seem to me the most logical way. A lot of showers in hotels and at some people's homes, there's just that one kind of dial, and you pull the dial out, and then you go left for hot and right for cold. Now, in my house, I have an older home. I have two nozzles. I got the hot and the cold. That's the easiest. But most times, you have that middle nozzle, and you just go to the right for hot and to the left for cold. But for some reason, the last 10 or 15 years, they've created this new nozzle that's in the middle, that you have to spin all the way around to get past the hot and the cold, which I don't understand why what that represents. And the water doesn't come out toward the bottom. It comes out of the shower. So you are testing the water as it's hitting you. So you're standing away from it. Because you don't want to, if it's too hot, you don't want to get scalded by the water. And if it's too cold, you want to get frozen. And so it's not very efficient. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. And they show you where the red and the blue is. But sometimes you have to spin the whole thing around, like almost a whole half a turn to get to the hot. And you're in the middle of getting these different colors, these different temperatures of water on you. I don't understand why. Just hot and cold. It should be very simple. But I don't know. That's the new thing. Then, if you've gone, especially to hotels, the big thing now in hotels is that they don't have tubs. They just have showers. And they don't have shower curtains. They have glass enclosures. And most showers are not very big. So the enclosure also has an opening. It doesn't have a door, which it should have, but it probably costs extra. So you just have this glass about halfway through, and then it's open, and you walk in. Well, if you've ever been in one of these, you know that when you turn the shower on, the water goes past you and hits the back of the wall and goes out that opening. So you're taking a shower, and especially the water's hitting you, so there's water going everywhere, and a lot of the water is going out that open part of the glass door. That's either, and if there is a glass, even a closing for a door there, it doesn't close all the way for some reason. All I'm saying is the water gets out of the shower very easily in this. It's all glass now, too. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're building all these hotel room showers so they could film porno movies in there. I don't understand why you need a glass window. Why do I need a glass window in a shower? Who's watching me? And to be honest with you, I don't want to watch myself in the mirror. Why can't we have a curtain? Unless there's some sexual, this is all I can think of is that, well, this is like, come on in. I'm showering now. You know, put the camera right there. Talk about being viral. So I don't understand what that's needed for. But anyway, so as you know, especially in these hotels, most hotels, you know, have tile floors, which are slippery. But then some, and it's not even the fancy schmancy ones, have, you know, marble. Because, again, now in any kind of hotel, you have to have a beautiful bathroom. I'd rather have a more comfortable bed than a nice bathroom. But so if the water gets out of the shower, now you're creating a hazard when I step out. I could slip on the tile or on the marble. So, yeah, you know what? When you walk in the bathroom or you have a picture online of here's our beautiful bathrooms, it may look nice. And you go, wow, look at those bathrooms. I'm going to stay there. But don't forget that this needs to be functional as well as pretty. So, yeah, on a photo, this marble floor and this raindrop dousing thing on top and the glass door looks sleek and elegant. But I have to tell you, in practicality and in execution, it's terrible. There's water everywhere. I'm taking a shower like I'm outside because I'm behind a glass. And I got to tell you, this rain dousing thing, it sounds cool. Oh, wow. The rain hits you from the top of your head. But you know what? I don't know about you. If you ever use one of those, what I like about a nice nozzle, thank you very much, is that you can spin the nozzle around to aim it where you need. You know, there's some crevices sometimes that need a little soap. Well, this downpour thing just hits you from the top of your head. You know, that's why we have umbrellas. We don't like to be in the rain. So why do I want to be in the rain in my shower? If you don't stand directly under this thing, you don't get wet. And I can't reach my crevices with this downpour thing. And you can't move it. It's just stationary up there. So yeah, once again, in theory, very cool. Raindrop or rain down, whatever the hell they call it, looks cool, not functional. The other thing, now that handheld one, once again, in theory, not a bad idea. Good for the crevices. No question about that. You can get every crevice you need to get with the handheld one. But then, you know, you got to soap up, right? So you can't hold, you know, what am I, a magician here? How am I soaping up and holding this nozzle? So then I have to put the nozzle in that holder. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one. How many times have you put that nozzle in that holder and it falls out and it crashes to the floor and then the water nozzle is shooting water all over the shower, outside the door. So now you're grabbing for that. You're getting hit in the face with water. You're looking for soap. You're sudsed up. You know, the shower is pretty dangerous. It's a dangerous thing between the, you know, there's very little friction in a shower. You got suds, water, and tile. There's no sandpaper. Where's the friction? A lot of sliding go around. Now I have like a water weasel shooting water all over in my shower. So I have to tell you, downpour, rain falling downpour, nice in theory, don't really like it. No question. Top of my head, soaked. But lower regions, not as easy because everything's hitting my head. So my feet are getting the residue from my shoulders and my head. Nozzle with the hand, not bad. Good for crevices, but once again, I got to soap up. And if I don't put that thing perfectly in with the water, it falls out, and then it's a water weasel and it's shooting me. So as much as I understand we all want to be cool and hip and the latest thing and it looks nice, I have to tell you, I hate to sound like I'm 100 years old, but at the end of the day, you know, the good old shower nozzle that's stuck in the wall that you can maneuver with the hot and the colds on each side? There's a reason why it's been around that long, because it works. And it works well. And if I and at the very and you know why that stupid vinyl shower curtain has been around so long? Because if you tuck it in inside of the tub, the water doesn't get out. It works. I understand that the vinyl shower curtain is not as elegant or sleek or European or whatever you want to call it. When you take a picture and put it on your website, it doesn't look, you know, so sophisticated. But you know what? I need to take a shower. I'm not here to take a picture of that. Functionality is key. And I brought this up because I have to say, I went to this hotel the other day, and I was in heaven. First of all, the shower was big enough. Yes, it had the glass, which I wasn't crazy about. But the opening to walk in was far, far away from the nozzle. So the water coming out and creating a possible puddle on the floor, and I'm sure that that's happened. How many times have you had to, when you've gone to take a shower, especially at a hotel, have you had to wipe the floor? Because all the water gets out. This time, the opening was far in the back. So there was no water seepage or spillage. Very nice. Secondly, the spigot to turn the water on and test it was not right underneath the shower water. Because I said, once again, if you can only test it and it's hitting you, you're being hit by your test. You don't want to be hit by your test. You want, as I said to Jasmine here, when you hit your little, the normal old shower and you hit the little button up there, you've already tested that on your hand coming out of the spigot. But it's most times, what's that? What'd you say?
I was like, it's true, you have.
Right. But in some of these other ones, you have to test the water while it's hitting you.
See, I don't like that.
Bad idea. But this one, as I'm saying, that nozzle or that the water thing, the nozzle part, was far away from the water. Enough so that I could test it. Even if it was coming out of the nozzle, I could put my hand on it. I'm standing over here with my left hand testing and right hand under the water, but I'm not getting doused on my skin or my face or my head with this hot scalding water or this freezing cold water. I'm getting my nice 65-35 hot to cold ratio. Maybe I'll go nuts, 70-30. And then I turned it on. And there it was. I hit in this and in this shower, I had the choice, which is also nice. If you want to be hip, if you want to be sophisticated, and you want to have the downpour thing on there, go ahead. Go crazy. You want to have your picture for the websites, and you want to be all hip and cool, that's fine. But also then, have a normal nozzle. For those of us who don't want to make a romantic comedy and be caught in the rain. I just want to take a shower. This one had the nice nozzle. And you could pick downpour, regular. So, turned the water on, tested it, hit normal, shower, no water seeping out, stepped outside, wasn't slipping on the floor, wasn't wiping up the floor. Wow, what a fantastic shower experience. And I'm getting no kickbacks here or anything, but let me just tell you that it was a Hyatt hotel in Napa Valley. That's all I can tell you. Great, great showers. So finally, I have another question. Since I'm on the hotel spiel here, One of the things I like to do when I go to hotels is I like to I like to have, as I said, I'm old school here. I know a lot of people, you know, we have a landline at our house. Okay, that some people don't even know what that is. That's, you know, the phone that's actually stuck into the wall. I know some people don't even know what that is, but I still have one of those. So if you have one of those, you always have to have a little, you know, a paper and a pen next to your phone to make messages, because I'm not sitting there texting in stuff into my phone. So when I go to hotels, rather than going to, you know, a Staples or an Office Max and buying, you know, some paper, I like to take the hotel paper that they give you at the desk, those little pieces. And I like to take the pens, too. I have a crazy collection of pens from all these hotels. I have way too many pens. And the thing is, if you take those pens and you use those pens, you need a lot, because those pens are not made for long term. I don't think there's a lot of ink in any of those pens, because they figure the average person only is writing quick numbers down. So they could put one of those pens in those rooms, and those pens should last like 15 years, because people aren't really using those pens anymore. And even if you do, you're not writing novels freehand. You're just writing on a quick phone number for a restaurant or something. So those pens, I don't think, even have a lot of ink. They're not made to last. Nonetheless, to save money on buying a bunch of Bic and a bunch of paper, I like to steal the pens, which is great, which I have to say, which is what I like. When you go to a hotel, if the pen is missing and the paper is missing, when the maid comes in, they always fill it up again. So that's nice. So if I'm staying there someplace for 3 days, I got three new pens and three new supplies of paper. So I have my little scratch pad next to the phone is never just white. It's always got Hilton or Hyatt or wherever I've stayed. Best West, whatever it is, you know, from the nicest hotels that might have embossed to like the cheapest. And I have to tell you, some of these hotels are scrimping on the paper. They used to give you a nice little pad of paper that had like pretty thick. Now, some places, three sheets of paper. What am I going to do with that? But you know what? I take it anyway. So I have all these pens and I have all this paper. So we went to this place, and this place was great. They had a nice stack of paper, and it was embossed, which was really nice. I took that, put it in my bag, and then the next day, there they did. They filled it up again, more paper and another pen. Took that right through all that new paper back into my bag. I had 3 days' worth of paper and three new pens. So I walked out of there between my shower, which I was excited about and loved to. I mean, I took extra showers just because it was a great experience at this place. And then to get the added bonus of extra paper and three pens. I don't even know what I did on my vacation, to be honest with you. I had so much fun in my room between my free paper and pens and my nice shower. But this is not earth-shattering stuff, but I have to ask this question, so I will ask Jasmine this. What is the term? Is it scratch paper or scrap paper?
Oh, gosh, this is a good one.
Because I'm sitting here, as I'm stealing all this paper, I said, I need some scrap paper. But then I said, wait a minute. Is it scrap paper or scratch paper?
I don't know.
Like, you know, so you know what I'm talking about? Like the paper that you have hanging around to write a letter on. Now, there's people in the other room here. They're all looking at me like I'm out of my mind.
Scratch.
I think it's scratch, Jimmy.
Scratch?
Scratch.
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 It's not scrap. It's with a T. It's scratch.
No.
See, well, this is why this is what I do. I try to find the most stupid questions on earth and try to get an answer to them. So is it, we're going to go with scratch?
We're going with scratch.
Not scrap.
Goes along with the rest of the shower
segment. Well, they're making fun of my shower discussion now. But so it's scrap paper. Scratch paper.
Scratch.
But isn't the whole idea that the paper is just hanging around and it's like a scrap of paper?
No.
Apparently not.
No.
So in other words, the scratch then would mean that I'm going to use this to scratch down a quick note.
Wait, Scott has the answer. Scott, come here.
Yeah, come on up here. I'm hearing. Oh.
This is the expert.
Now, who is this? Who is this?
On the internet, which is true.
Who
scratch
is this?
Paper is low quality.
First. Scott Katoon.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Scott.
Let me put the headphones on him. Okay.
Okay, Scott. Now, what's great, if there was only a device that existed that had information at our fingertips, but apparently I don't have one, but Scott has one.
It is not found on the flip phone variety, but on the online.
Hey, don't make fun of the flip phone.
I'm not. On the Triple W, it says, scratch paper is low-quality paper you keep around to jot notes or sketch on. You might buy a pad of scratch paper.
Right.
Scrap paper is paper of any quality that has already been used but getting reused.
So wait, so I'm not crazy here.
No,
there's actually
you
there's
got both.
So it, but in the first, so what did you look up? Scratch or scrap?
Scratch versus scrap.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you looked up my dilemma.
Your exact dilemma.
Oh, and so it actually, and in my dilemma there was like, where did you find this?
The internet.
No, I understand that.
Google,
I mean,
it's like Google. Like we hit Google.
No,
and
I understand. No,
top.
I know what, I'm not this much of an idiot.
No,
I know what Google, but like
Quora.
What came up?
Quora is the source.
And
of
it said scratch versus scrap?
Yeah, it has a definition for scratch paper and a definition for scrap paper.
Like right next to one another.
Correct.
So I'm not the only one wondering that.
No, and they are both existent. They're just different things.
Right. So I am so excited now. So wait. So scratch paper is low quality paper specifically for notes, like I'm saying.
Yeah. So like if you took a piece of paper that was used and you ripped half of it off and left it by your desk, that's scratch paper.
That's scratch paper.
Scrap paper would be like if somebody gave you a piece of paper that all had been written on, you scribbled over it and then started writing on the side of it, that's scrap paper.
Oh, so
that could be any quality. It'd be great paper or it could be junk.
So this, so that one would be already used.
Correct.
Scrap.
Scrap.
As scratch?
In, like, scrap food. If you walk around a restaurant and eat scrap food, you're eating somebody else's food.
Well, if you ever listen to me with any kind of regularity, you know that I've actually not only, I actually have taken food off of trays in lobby, in hallways of hotels.
You are not alone in this.
Right. Everybody thought I was crazy, but I have all, if there's an uneaten something, I will take it.
I went into a hotel kitchen well, and I made a sandwich once.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm talking about in the hallway, like with like some people that haven't eaten. They put their scraps.
You did not have scratch food. You had
I had scrap food. Yes. All right. Well, I'm happy. We have. Thank you. I don't want to say anything, Jasmine, but whoever Scott is, you know, where were you with that answer?
I didn't have my phone on.
Don't you have a device?
I do, but you were asking me for my opinion.
I understand.
I didn't ask
Google. No, and I appreciate. So this is great. So there is a, first of all, what I think is, I thought my question was kind of silly, but actually it isn't. And there is a difference. Scratch paper is low quality paper used to jot down notes, which is what I take. Scrap paper is a piece of paper that is used, that was already used, but is used again. So I guess I do collect scratch paper. So now I will know what to say. Well, folks, I don't know about you, but between my conversation about my viral photo, my shower experience, and I have to say, I'm all chubbed up right now because we got this idea of the scrap versus scratch, and I didn't think I would find that out. I thought I was just going to throw some little rhetorical question, but I got to tell you, this internet thing, I think it's going to catch on. I really do. I don't think this internet's going away. I never would have thought that before, but I think it's going to stick around. Because you know what's scary? Someone out there had the same stupid question that I did and actually wrote this thing down for us to find it. That's what I love about the internet, is that it brings together not only important information, but the most useless and stupid information you could ever think of, which is what my trade is. So thank God for the internet being on my level. Why don't you hit our little walkout music there? So we figured out the difference between scratch and scrap paper right here on episode 93 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic at WGNplus.com every Monday. More important topics will be discussed, like today's scratch versus scrap paper. Nowhere else. This is the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.